has 300 acres or 2,000 acres around it, and therefore you would be taxing everybody equally for where they live, but the distinction would be that you wouldn't tax farmland that was being used for farmland for its farm purposes.
I think we have a misunderstanding here. Do you realize that the home itself is taxed?
I was going to point that out to you, Senator.
Well, I was in the some of the discussion here. It was implied that the only person out there that was being taxed on his living area was the non-farmer.
Hell no. They pay full taxes on their home, the farmer and the non-farmer.
I've lost track of some of these differences between exclusive farm
and so forth. Okay.
There is the 1 acre underneath the home site that the last session of the legislature gave farm taxation to, which I think some of us farmers rush a little about. And I say that as a farmer. I don't think that you realize that the 1 acre underneath the home site, only the last session gave them that advantage.
And the Agriculture Board takes no position on that particular action of the last legislature. We are not supporting that action or opposing it. We have consciously decided to take no position on that particular parcel.
Mr. Chairman, I've got to get this straight. Under the legislation that last session, that land is taxed as though it were farmland, even though there's a house on it.
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's right.
It's a house. It's a
house. But the land is not.
That's right.
But it's not farmland. You got a house on it.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And as I said, we take no position on that particular legislation which is in place.
I have some points I'd like to mention if you still have time on that have already been brought up here today. Mr. Allison points out that in Washington County, this exceptions area couldn't get into the marginal land. I'd like to point out that we have supplied you with some amendments which would automatically make all exceptions areas go directly into marginal land, provided the people out there want to put them in. The other thing he mentioned was the perennial crop problem, and we think we've corrected that with legislation and legislative amendments that are not in the original bill. Now, I was very happy that you had the gentleman here from Revenue that was talking on this bill, because he probably found some things in there that I didn't know were in the tax area, and some of these I'm not happy with, and I think perhaps they need to be eliminated. One of them is this yearly application, and I hope that the farm bill amendments will take care of that particular problem. Surely this was not in the philosophy that we gave to the drafters of this particular part. The other thing that he mentioned was that it somehow changed the application of farmers' assessment to wasteland and land under the valley, and it wasn't our intention to do anything on those areas, so if it does, we better take another look at it.
Mr. Chairman, can I just say, Dave?
I'm a little confused that you
want to. Let me ask you about, you made the statement, now I understand you, that you were willing to take the exception areas, as I understood what you just said, that Mr. Allison was pointing out, like in Washington County, there's something in excess of 40 to 50,000 acres. In fact, I just met with him at noon. 40,000 acres. And treat that as a marginal lands question, did you say, under this bill?
Yes.
How would you do that?
We simply said that any land that under which the LCDC, excuse me, has already granted an exception, so we're now in rural residential and can therefore subdivide on down to whatever limit the county must have let them down to 1 acre. We would go into the marginal lands directly without meeting any other qualification. If we feel this is greater protection for that land than it would have now.
Mr. Chairman, today, I'd like to also comment on something Mr. Allison said. I believe he may have overlooked the fact that as we have drawn up the marginal land proposal, we intend, and we believe it's written correctly into the bill that way, that marginal land would have a lot of record for all lots, a lot of record provision for all lots that are created by the time this bill would go into effect. Would be adopted.
All of them?
We're pretty liberal, Senator.
Well, I'm not complimenting you for that. that bothers me as much as some of the other parts. Well, all right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No matter what the taxation, we've had a lot of objection here on the 20 acres. You can realize that the current law allows 20-acre woodlots within EFU. And so that there's no problem with in the marginal land area, since we're 20 acres is the maximum size you can have. We can have timber in there, and we can do whatever we need to do. And I think that we even plug the loophole that you have to give some management to it now, because under the perennial language, it's in, I believe, 215.203, and I'm not too sure of that. That would require that you maintain the trees, that is, in which you plant an orchard, you have to do something with it. Now, I believe that covers the important points that I wanted to mention. Do you have any more, Ross?
Yes, sir, Hamby.
Back to the 20-acre woodlot. And you feel the income test is appropriate?
The income test, you realize, is meant by our perennial legislation that says when it comes to maturity, there's no problem with a perennial.
No.
And that would cover your timber. Yeah. But it means that they've got to put those trees out there and they've got to keep them going, because if they stop growing, then they don't have it in a perennial, and therefore it would not meet the income test.
How would trees stop growing?
I've had a lot of them stop growing. They simply die and go brown. So that they, you know, there's a lot of things that happen to trees once they're planted.
In Western Oregon?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Senator Day.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Senator Hamby, I believe, again, on the marginal land proposal, there's been a lot of confusion in some of the testimony, because the figure of $20,000 has been thrown around in terms of houses being built or income test. The $20,000 figure, what you find in the marginal land language, refers only to the designation of what is marginal land and whether it's part of an operation that is grossing over $20,000. $20,000 has nothing to do with an income test in marginal land. That income test goes back to what is the present income test for unzoned lands to get the tax deferral. And again, in terms of a building right, there is the law of record provision for marginal land.
Mr. Chairman, I can tell you, right in my county, right here, I bet I could show you a third of the population that's making a living, just supporting their family, not taking produce to market, but just supporting their family on acreages such as 10 or 20 acres, earning a front-end tax deferral. And it's the difference between continuation of a halfway decent standard of living. And this is the very thing that, if we applied their test, they'd be out in the cold. I just point that out, because there wouldn't be an income on those folks. That's what they're earning. What they're doing is raising enough food for families.
I don't know that you're aware, but in the language, the old language that's already in the bill indicates that if you consume that product, it's figured to the full market value. So you do make it, even though you consume it.
I'm not talking about the old bill. I'm talking about your new bill. I don't see that where you're going to preserve that.
You'll find it on page 11. 26. It's in the section.
26, page 11.
Is that it? Down in the section.
Section 16.
16 is the one that's the target.
That language is rather confusing, and we're hoping that somehow in a work session it can be written to be a little clearer. The sentence is excessively long and very complicated.
The line 31, which gives us the when you take out the value of the livestock purchased, if you read that, you at least need some punctuation in there if you don't come out with the right answer to what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do, of course, is simply to say that when you use livestock as your gross income, you've got to deduct the cost of those livestock before you figure your $500.
Mm. Livestock could be part of the process, couldn't it? For a family like that?
Yes, livestock.
They raise some beef, and then they will trade the beef or barter the beef to have it butchered for their own family, and then trade some of that beef for further sale.
Right, and that's commonly done. In fact, I was told by an assessor today that revenue has just put out a new directive that half of the beef that you, 51% of the livestock you sell have to be actually sold, or it doesn't fit the test. But that's something that the assessors can tell you more about than I can.
Mr. Roberts? Then the language on line, at the end of line 31, is used by Luma personally. That, while it might have gotten disconnected so that the meaning isn't clear, that was intended to mean that the value producing this 500 value includes the value of produce that the owner consumed, used himself and his family.
That's correct.
So it doesn't have to be sold in the market. It can, if right, okay.
And this is the old part of the bill.
Yes, and it just the amendments here just kind of confuse the
excitement. Well, I appreciate you pointing that out because if you read this this qualifying test, it's a little hard to see what you're putting the two together.
Very confusing language.
You may be right.
Senator Hamby, do you have a question?
Yes, just briefly, a point of clarification to follow up on Senator Roberts' original question as far as the exemption. The 81 session, the action by the 81 session of the 1 acre, a scenario for a moment. A home in an EFU, $150,000 home in an EFU, $20,000 swimming pool, a pool, house, a gazebo, a garage, etc., all contained within a 1 acre plot of farm land. The exemption is what? All property exempt. There are no farm unit or farm related structures per se on the 1 acre.
I think you'd find if it's in an EFU zone, the 1 acre would get the same treatment all the rest of the farmland would get. Even though it might take more than an acre, although I'm not clear on this point, if you had your gazebo stretched out for 5 acres, whether they could do something with that. But the law specifically was changed to permit 1 acre to be that 1 acre, which had been taxed at full market value, to be taxed at the farm use value, as well as all the rest of the land on the farm.
And all the structures and pool that I mentioned would be taxed at market value.
At market value, that is correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, there were some other things they were going after, wells and certain things under septic tanks, I guess. They even went after, this wasn't just those items, they went after trellises on hop farms, and there was a whole series of things they were trying to clean up in the law. And the farm structures were exempt, but the land was exempt, but not the house and what have you, because they were treating the land as if it was all in farming. Someone had to live there. That was the whole rationale of the committee that did that. Thank you.
Senator Kitzhaber, Senator Day, another rationale, and Senator Hamby, another rationale, I believe, in the last session of the legislature for that action was that the farmer was not permitted to sell his house separate from his farm.
That's right.
Therefore, in a sense, this was a compensating factor. I think there was another thing, and I would like to speak just a little bit to the Farm Bureau testimony also on that. There has been, in some counties, apparently, if I get the stories correctly, as I've talked to many farmers in many counties, there's been some misuse by some assessors. Certainly this has not been the case in Benton County, but for instance, a farmer has a several hundred acre farm and has a rocky knoll that is not very productive for pasture, and when the price of cattle is down, the price of beef is down, then it is more appropriate not to graze that rocky knoll. But there's no intention of separating the rocky knoll off of the farm and using it for rural residential. Yet the assessor comes and assesses that at the market values of rural residential land. And I think that is why Farm Bureau has apparently taken a very strong position that all land in the EFU zone should be farmed. I believe I have notes here, I have notes here, but I'm not sure of this. You'll need to check with Legislative Council. That Senate Bill 335 is a bill that talks about land lying fallow or otherwise left idle should be included for farm use.
You're hearing it in.
We've got bills that deal with the wells and the lying fallow and the rocky knoll, and they're on the Revenue Committee.
Rocky knoll fellas.
I would just like to make one more comment about some initial comments about trying somehow to make an exclusive class of Cadillac farmers or something. I think that has not at all been the intent of Agriculture for Oregon. The intent has been to try and look at the places where taxation may have been misused and to bring some sense of fairness to it. Now, if that income tax test of $500 in the EFU zone is not considered by non-farmers to be appropriate, then I think we're less concerned. We do feel that since the EFU zone so well protects farmland for the future, for our children and our grandchildren, that the encouragement that it would give to people in rural residential land, who let's say now have 10 or 15 acres, to come into an EFU zone, if they no longer can get an EFU tax benefit as they are now in the RR land, we think that would be appropriate, because if they bring that rural residential land into the EFU zone, that means that also is going to be preserved. And so we'd like to see some nudging so that the land that actually is being farmed goes into EFU zone. And I remember the early years of the planning process way back in the early 70s when I was working at the county level, not at the legislative level. We were really opposed to spot zoning, and I guess my whole attitude on that has changed, that I'm thinking that maybe it would be all right to spot zone a little bit of EFU into an RR section, even if everything around is RR, if that land could be protected.
Is that cool?
Do we have other witnesses? Go ahead, and then I'd like to say something or share something with committee that we have another bill in the banking comes to.
Is that going to revenue too?
Unless we delete out the portion.
Yeah, actually, I think revenue is going to be the final committee for EFU land use legislation.
I'm not sure that does go to revenue, but it needs to.
I think there's been a lot of confusion about the woodlots, and I certainly am not a tax expert on timber taxation and woodlot taxation, but it seems to me that you may wish to call some witnesses. I think Richard Benner, Stamp Attorney for Thousand Friends, may be a person who could give you help on that woodlot taxation issue. There may be other people from the Department of Land Conservation and Development or from Revenue Department. I'm not sure where, but it seems to me that clarification is very important, because we're getting opposition to the marginal land proposal, not because of the validity of the proposal, but because somehow the small woodlot owners are fearing that their tax benefit will be in jeopardy. And as a laywoman, there's something incongruous to me that somehow we need farm taxation or farm legislation to protect woodlots and forestry. Somehow I wish that could be clarified so that we had good woodlot taxation, so that the woodlot owners would really be encouraged to plant and get that land into production for future generations.
Thank you very much.
We had testimony today from Central Point, and they were orchardists who came, some with 100 and, who had been farming and family orchard for 150 acres, which was in the urban growth boundary of that particular area, and they were very concerned that they had just invested in some major improvements in their orchard that took away the smudge pots and put in overhead irrigating. And they were very concerned that we would deprive them of the farm deferral. And they were involved in, you know, still within the urban growth boundary, but certainly not for the foreseeable future would they be, you know, subdivided or whatever. And we had a number of people who came from that distance away who were very, very concerned and I'd like to get copies of their testimony to share with committee members just for your own information. But it was very persuasive testimony, and this again was, we tend to hear one side until you get a perspective from throughout the state, and you understand there's lots of very productive, and these were not small, the large 150 acres within this boundary.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask?
We now have another witness. And so I just want you to know that. Okay. Roberts.
What?
Senate Bill 238, which came from the interim committee.
Which is a different bill.
It is a different bill, but it's dealing with what it does.
It prohibits CFU zoning within an urban growth boundary.
It prohibits the tax, the deferral, not only zoning, but the deferral, in fact, from anything that's in an urban growth boundary.
We have a lot of small orchards right here in the Salem community in the urban growth boundary that are productive, and
I'd like to call another witness. That is another.
Yeah, fine.
Mr. Chairman, we picked on you now.
Ron Schulzer.
Is this the last witness, Mr. Chairman?
Rural land than any other district in Multnomah County. more fun to bird land.
My name is Ron Schulzen. I'm from Dallas, Oregon. I'm speaking on behalf of myself, although I am an elected planning commission member in Polk County. I'm not very well prepared. I really haven't even seen the endorsed version as I understand it out now. I've been listening to what's been going on here and listening to what other people have told me about it. So I'm not going to get into detail very much, but some things, most of it, what I've heard, concerns me very much, and I'm going to study into it more and try to put more input into this committee if there's still time. But I would just like to mention a couple of things. I'm not like Mr. McPherson. I didn't give up my development rights. I also have 110 acres. I didn't give up my development rights for this tax deferral. My rights were taken from me involuntarily. So I agree with what he's saying, but it doesn't apply to everybody. Now, our rights were taken for that money, but not voluntarily in most cases. Secondly, this business of the taxation within the EFU zone seems to me that it's zoned EFU. You can't legally use it for anything else without some kind of a conditional use. Well, you can't build a house on it unless it's farm related, unless you get a conditional use or some kind of variance or something. So it seems rather strange to be talking about taking away the deferral in an EFU zone. Because if you can't do anything but farm it, why are you taking away the deferral, is what it looks to me like. And yet I do know, even in the present law, the assessor has, in our county, in a couple of cases that I know of, taken the deferral off of a few acres of woodlot on a farm or something, because he's not running cattle in it or something, so he can call it farming. Even though he has maybe 500 acres of very farmable land, and he has maybe 50 and 20 acres of woodlot here and there on it that he just doesn't do anything with, particularly maybe it's not good farmland, I don't know, but all of a sudden the assessor comes along and takes it off of the deferral. All of a sudden he's got a huge cost there. As far as the 1 acre under the house, I can see some merits to either way of taxing that, because you can't sell the 1 acre individually because it's EFU. So in a way, the deferral is justified on that too, if you're going to have it. I'm not too sure I'm in favor of deferrals, period, but they were put in as a sort of a bone being tossed to the people to accept this zoning, as I feel. I think that's all I have to say at this time.
Okay, we'll see you at 5 on Wednesday. Oh, yeah, by the way, Friday we're meeting at 1 o'clock instead of
5.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Change your mind.
Oh,
did you get boys and girls or something?
I'm tired again when I come.
This is an area that's brought to my EFU.